And I'd like to welcome to the Magic Morning Show, we have Superintendent David Backler of SAU 20 joining me on the line. Good morning, Superintendent.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. We want to check in with our neighbors of the north. We've been giving an opportunity for a lot of the different school districts to come on the Magic Morning Show a little bit and talk about this whole process we've been going through. First and foremost, I hope that you and yours are healthy and wealthy and wise. Everybody's doing okay?
Well, healthy, and that's what really counts right now, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely, and we wish the best for everyone, and we will get through this whole thing. Let's talk about SAU 20 for just a little bit here. Why don't we go back maybe about a month or so, actually about 2 months now. It's kind of crazy how time is flying by with this whole thing. When the remote learning really kicked in and started, how did SAU 20 make that transition? How was everything?
Well, I'll say this. I've always enjoyed time to talk about my people because I think they're just some of the best people in the world, and this is no different. I think that, you know, this started on a Sunday. The governor made his orders that we were going to, you know, spend a week getting ready for remote learning and then start remote learning. I had students that had assignments that Monday. So we turned around really quickly. People just had a laser focus. The teachers had a laser focus on just this idea that we were going to meet the students' needs. We're going to make sure every student in our SAU is going to continue on and progress. And I feel like with that kind of as our vision and our marching orders, we were able to kind of move forward quickly. You know, teachers reached out, paraprofessionals reached out, administrators reached out. We made sure we got in touch with every single student that week and made a plan. And for some of those students, it meant, you know, moving along similar to how they had been before this all started. And for some of them, it was quite a bit different. But we made sure that we had a plan for every student so they could progress academically.
Very good. And what about when it comes to the computers and equipment? I know that we talked to Superintendent Julie King just last week, and she was saying that that was a big deal for them to be able to get the equipment to the children that may not have had it.
Sure. I mean, we are a pretty technologically forward district, SAU, and so we have, every one of our students already had a machine, and
Excellent.
So it was just a matter of making sure they could get that and get that home, and that, you know, we had to make sure in some of our more rural areas that they had the internet connection that they needed in their houses. And so we spent that first week, you know, dropping hotspots off at houses and, you know, talking to some of our local providers to make sure that they would have the internet. And it took us that week. But, you know, by week two, we had 100% connection, which was we felt really great about.
Excellent.
And that was, you know, just everybody working and thinking and being creative on how to make that happen. So it was a... Definitely, it was a big lift, but it got done.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it went very well for you. That is excellent. When you have to, if you had to say, what is the most difficult part? What do you think that was with the transition?
Oh, it's direct connection with kids.
Yeah,
you know, that's really the hardest part. And I have three boys in my house, and my 6-year-old said to me yesterday, I miss my friends. I miss my teacher. I love school. I want to go back to school. When can we go back to school? And you know, as a 6-year-old, he doesn't have that perspective necessarily. He just knows that his buddies aren't around, and he wants to see his buddies, and his teachers aren't around. He wants to see his teachers, and he wants to be in school. And, you know, I think that's, you know, it's whether you're 6 years old or 60 years old, that's true. You know, you just want to be back, and you want to see people every day, and you want to greet people in the hallways, and you want to see the, you know, that you want to see the scores after the sports, you know, after the sports the next day, and talk, you know, and that's really what's missing. And it's really hard. You don't have that direct connection. And it's difficult.
Yeah, I can only imagine that. Thinking back to the days that we were in school, and I can only imagine that has to be the most difficult part, not seeing your friends on that daily basis and checking in. And, again, just having that friend conversation that we all know and love, for sure. How has the staff been responding? I guess the students as well. You talked about your son there, but the students and staffs, how has the response been? Overall positive?
Yeah, I think overall positive. I think people have really, I mean, I've been absolutely amazed by how people continue to rise to these challenges. They continue to just say, not yet. You know, we'll figure this out. We haven't gotten it yet. You know, if they have a problem, it's just not a not yet problem. They're going to figure it out. And so, you know, if they've got a student who's, you know, both of their parents are working and they're, you know, they're critical workers and, you know, we're going to figure out a way to get through to help that kid, you know. And so they figure that out. I think the kids, I mean, you know, the biggest thing for me, I feel so much for these seniors and making sure that we have a way to celebrate their accomplishments as they get through this. They didn't expect this to happen. We didn't expect this to happen, but here they are, you know, they're going to graduate. And that's such a, you know, milestone for so many high school graduates. And we just want to make sure that we can do everything possible for those kids because that's a big deal. And you know, so I've definitely heard from a lot of seniors this year about, you know, how it's so disorienting to have this senior year be so different than what they expected. But, you know, they're doing the best, like everybody else, they're doing the best they can with it, and we're going to do the best we can to make some kind of celebration for them, no matter what it is.
I was going to say, that was a little question down the line here, but that was definitely a focus, and I know that's kind of the, what did they say, $20,000 question when it comes to a lot of the school districts on how you're going to handle those end-of-the-year celebrations. Is there any inclination on what we're doing so far? Is it still up in the air?
So one thing we're committed to is sticking with the original date. We our graduation was on June 5th, and we're going to continue to have an event on June 5th. Mm-hmm. Now, if June 5th is a date where we still don't have the ability to get everybody together, we'll do something as at least a placeholder, so we've done some kind of ceremony, and we'll have, you know, if say in August we can get kids together and have a full graduation, we would do both events.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also waiting. The New Hampshire Department of Human Services, of Health and Human Services, is supposed to come out with some guidelines for what we can do. It's actually supposed to come out this week. So as soon as we hear from them, then we can start really planning what it could possibly look like, whether it's outdoors and spread out in a parking lot so that everybody stays in their cars. I mean, there's so many different creative options that we could come up with, but we have to have some kind of guidance from the state so that we can make sure that it's safe and legal before we can really plan it.
Yes, of course, and that makes complete sense. There's a lot of announcements being made this week that people are looking forward to. Tomorrow should be a big day for the governor's office, no question about that. When it comes to SAU 20, there was a lot of school districts that were kind of changing things up a little bit, maybe changing their weekly schedule, maybe going to a four-day schedule instead of a five-day schedule. Did SAU 20 do any of that?
We did it more informally. We definitely did a four full-day academics, and then our Friday typically is more like a catch-up enrichment day. So we make sure that for students who have struggled a little more during the week, that they have that Friday to work with teachers to really kind of catch up. Or, you know, for kids that are staying up, that they have Friday to do something creative. You know, I have an 11-year-old boy who was doing an inertia experiment where he was spinning a wire hanger on his head to show how things that are in motion stay in motion. It's been pretty fun.
Yeah,
some
fair enough.
Ideas out there.
Oh, you have to be creative for sure. And I know a lot of other school districts, and I believe that you guys have been doing it as well when it comes to social media and all of that, of kind of doing little mini spirit weeks, trying to keep that morale up for sure. That must be important for you guys.
Oh, that's exactly right. And just some kind of semblance of, togetherness. You know, I think that, you know, all the schools have just done an incredible job reaching out. You know, they've got Facebook pages and videos posted and, you know, making sure. But there's some, you know, one of the schools did a parade where all the teachers drove by, the majority of the houses and for the kids, or they do some kind of, virtual hunt for things.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of really creative things to kind of keep people together in a time when we're pretty isolated.
Yeah, those parades have actually been pretty successful. There's been a few of them around this area as well, in addition to what you guys have done up north, and they really go a long way. And first, you think it's such a simple idea, but it connects them just for that short time. At least it connects the teachers to the students again, and you can say hello and check in on everybody, and that's what it's about.
That's it.
Excellent. When it comes to the meal plans and all, I know that was another concern for a lot of the different school districts. How did SAU 20 control that?
Yeah, so from the beginning, we had about half of our schools had waivers to start serving 100% of the kids. So, and then about 2 weeks in, we got the final waiver so we could serve everybody. And so, you know, over the last month, we've been able to serve any student who wants a meal, two meals a day. So we've got buses driving throughout all of our communities, dropping off meals every day. We're feeding, I think, I would say about 50% of the kids have taken us up on that offer. So we drop off, quite a few meals throughout the communities every single day. And that's something that we found out yesterday that waiver extends through the end of June. So even though a lot of our schools are getting out in the early June, we'll be able to continue that food service through June. And we're hopeful that, we get a waiver. The state's looking to get a waiver that would take us through the summer. And so this week, next week, like you said, there's a lot of stuff coming up this week and next week. So hopefully my guess is probably next week we'll be able to know if we're going to be able to deliver food through the summer. But a lot of that will have to do with what the governor has to say tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we'll be listening in and keeping everybody informed on that as well. When it comes to the SAU 20 and the remote learning, I'm sure you've noticed that New Hampshire was kind of leading the pack on that whole movement. We were really in front. We got some national attention for it. I'm sure SAU 20 was part of that as well. Any thoughts on why you think New Hampshire was kind of leading the pack there?
I think some of it has to do with competency-based learning and how we've led the pack nationally on that. And I think when you're really truly competency-based learning, you're looking at, you know, what can students do? So when you're looking at what students can do rather than what's the instruction, it gives you a really creative mindset right from the beginning, and it gives you an opportunity to really look at problems through that lens. And so once New Hampshire started down that road, it was pretty, you know, it's just another step to look at it. Okay, so, you know, you take the classrooms away, you take all these pieces away. Well, let's still focus on the student learning. How do we get that outcome? And, you know, we can do it through lots of different ways. But as long as we are focused on, you know, getting students wherever they are today, we're going to just try to get them one more step that next, you know, by the end of the day. So, you know, I think New Hampshire does that really well. I think technology has been a big part of New Hampshire for a long time, and that was critical in this movement. But boy, that focus on students, just that student learning, you know, and making sure that they're getting what they need. And you've got some just absolutely incredible and creative and flexible teachers in this state who just aren't going to give up on any kids. And that's, you know, the core of it.
I completely agree. Couldn't agree more for sure. Well, this is Superintendent David Backler of SAU 20 up in Gorham and Milan in that area, our neighbors to the north. Of course, we love our Gorham listeners and our Milan listeners and Dummer and all the different communities up there. So we wanted to make sure we checked in with you. Do you have any final thoughts at all when it comes to this whole process? Any final words?
Well, I'll end with what you started with, Gino. I hope everybody out there is staying safe and taking care of their families. And, you know, we can't wait to see everybody back together when it's safe to do so. And thank you so much for having me on. And I hope you stay safe and healthy, too.
Thank you. Yes, of course. Stay safe out there. And remember, if Mount Washington Radio here at Magic 104, if we can do anything for SAU 20, you let us know. And I will make sure to keep everybody posted, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, sounds good. That was David Backler, superintendent of SAU 20. Remember, you can check out saU20.org for full details on anything that David is talking about, and you can always reach out to him on that website as well. It's the Magic Morning Show on Magic 104.
Thanks for waking up with the Magic Morning Show.